Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by AOL Music and Spinner.com, where you can get free MP3s, exclusive interviews, and more. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 146 for April 7th, 2010. Eichen has cheeseburger? Net at Night is brought to you by GoToMeeting, the affordable way to meet with clients and colleagues for your free 30-day trial. Visit GoToMeeting.com/night. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/night. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, I'm Amber MacArthur.
Are you really in Toronto, Ontario, Canada? I don't recognize the backdrop. Where are you?
I am. You know, I just got in from Chicago, and I just stopped by the Butterscotch Studio. So our old friends Andy Walker and Matt Harris and Sean Crothers, they do a bunch of shows here. So they let me invade their studio space. Oh. And actually, they have pretty good internet here. So 10 up and 10 down, which for Toronto is fairly decent.
Yeah, that's for anywhere, that's fairly decent.
Yeah.
Now, you used to do a show for them. Are you not doing shows for them anymore?
No, I'm not. I did a show for them for a bit, but it just got to be too much. I have too many things on the go and just with the book coming out and everything. So I'm super, super busy. So I did a show just before I had Connor and haven't done it since. I just decided that I'm doing a lot of writing now, too. So I'm writing like maybe 5 columns a week.
Wow.
Along those lines.
Wow.
And speaking a lot more. So it's just been busy, but I do stuff for them now and again. So I'll do the odd video here and there, or come on their shows as a guest. So I still see them quite often.
And you know who is doing a video for them?
No, you are.
The new sexy video.
Oh, Kate.
Have you seen it yet?
Yes, I have.
I love it. It's so funny. Kate, who I guess we could say is Matt Harris's girl, right?
Yeah.
Fiance, sure. Probably by now.
Yeah.
Is she was on the site, or rather the lab with Leo, and she was they moved back to Toronto from Vancouver after our little episode out there, and so she's doing a show on kind of the sexy side of the web.
Yes,
in a very tasteful fashion, which is typical of Kate. I love it.
You know what, she gets away with it because she has that beautiful British accent.
Yeah, it's so funny. I love it.
Yeah. It's a lot of it. So it's things like how to hide your tracks online in terms of surfing the web and, you know, some gadget stuff. And she does a really great job.
You know, everybody knows that's what a lot of is going on the net. And it might as well just be honest about it and admit it, right?
Yeah.
Not you, but you know, other people.
Other people.
Not us.
Those other people that we shall remain nameless for the purposes of this podcast.
Hey, a big story just broke as we were starting the show, and I found out because the radio station called and said, can you talk about this? I said, talk about what? A U.S. appeals court ruled today that the Federal Communications Commission in the U.S. went too far, exceeded its mandate when it slapped down the big cable company here, the internet service provider Comcast. Comcast was blocking and disconnecting BitTorrent connections. And the FCC asserted that it had the right to regulate this, even though there was some question. I know even at the EFF, they were going, you know, if this may not be something that they actually have a legal right to do. Of course, it's important because the FCC has been very active in promoting net neutrality. But if they don't have the right to regulate the internet, they're not going to get very far in that. The FCC argued it had the authority to police internet service providers and prevent them from blocking or slowing traffic to protect net neutrality. The court, three judge panel, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, by a 3-2 vote. I'm sorry, the FCC's 3-2 vote. There's only three judges. I thought, how can they do a 3-2 vote with three judges? I'm not sure what the vote was for the judges, but they overturned the FCC's demand that Comcast stop slowing web traffic, a victory for Comcast, which, by the way, Comcast predicted all along. However, it might mean that they just that President Obama and the FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski just go to Congress and say, well, we've got to get Congress involved because they FCC does everything by mandate of Congress. So they may just go to Congress and say, look, you want to protect net neutrality, you're going to have to pass a law.
This is really bad news. I mean, obviously for net neutrality in the U.S., but also for net neutrality in Canada and probably other places, because I think all of us have sort of looked to the U.S. as being the model. And when there was one step forward for net neutrality in the U.S., then I think the rest of us felt as though, okay, you know, there is hope for us here. But it's bad news for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, Comcast says that the decision is not going to have an impact on its customers. They say, quote, consumers are in the driver's seat in today's market-driven internet ecosystem and their interests remain fully protected. This has been always the argument of people who say, oh, you don't need to legislate or do anything to protect net neutrality. The market will rule. And I think this is what Comcast would like everybody to believe. But we don't have a free market for the internet here in the U.S. In most communities, there's a duopoly. The phone company and the cable company really dominate internet access, and very few other providers are allowed to play or successfully play. So, you know, many people don't even have the choice of two providers. So
yes.
I don't know if there really is a free market here. And if Verizon and AT&T and Comcast all decide to say, well, we're not going to allow BitTorrent because it hogs too much network bandwidth, there's not going to be a lot of choice for users.
Yeah, you know, we're really in a similar situation in Canada because the big players are Bell and Rogers. And even if there are some smaller players that have come to the table and tried to sort of make steps to move ahead in that space, like TechSavvy, for example, is one of those ISPs, well, they're still using the Bell lines and they're still really having to follow along with Bell's guidelines. And unfortunately, you remember the early days of doing Net at Night, I would get throttled on Skype all the time from Rogers. I mean, it would happen after about 20 minutes every single call I would make. And it's still a pretty poor situation. I know in my house, for example, in terms of getting a decent internet connection, you almost can't do it. You can't get one from anyone. They have about the same prices from the big providers, and they limit, they cap your bandwidth, and it's just, it's not good.
It's a really important issue, and we just want to make sure that we start off talking about this. A free and open internet, I think, are critical to the success, the economic success of a country, the educational success of the country. And we've just got to make sure that we have a free and open internet and that internet service providers don't get to act here as they do, say, in China, deciding what we can and cannot do with our internet.
Yeah. I think the frustrating thing, Leo, as well, is that I just spoke at DePaul yesterday in Chicago about education 2.0 and social media. And one of the things I've seen a lot in education in that space, particularly in high schools, is they use Skype, for example, to have video conferences with experts from around the world. You know, they're using this technology to do good things. And it's a shame to think that, at least here in Canada, Rogers or Bell maybe throttling Skype and putting a limit on the ability to use services like we should be able to use them.
I always use Canada, actually, as an example. When people say to me, oh, but there's no example of, you know, net neutrality being a problem. And they're right. In the U.S., you probably, except maybe for this Comcast case, there haven't been a lot of examples. But boy, at least with Shaw, which is the cable provider on the West Coast, they freely admit that they block Skype traffic or slow it down.
Yeah.
So, they don't have any scruples about saying it. Oh, yeah, we do that.
They do that. Yeah. And you know, there are a group of Canadians who are kind of fighting back. And Michael Geist, who I think we've had
he's
on the
great.
Show in the past.
Love Michael,
he's fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's really leading the cause. So if anyone's interested in learning more about net neutrality and following what's happening here in Canada, Michael Geist has a great blog and does a lot to try to move us forward in this area.
We've got a great guest coming up in just a little bit. I'm sure Ben will have something to say about it. I saw Ben Ha in Austin at South by Southwest. He was a guest on Buzz Out Loud and was just great, dry, funny, and very impressive. He's the man who created I Can't Has Cheeseburger and has parlayed that into a net empire, right?
It's amazing. You know, the funny thing is when I was doing a little bit of research into some of the sites that he's created, I didn't realize there were so many. I mean, there must be dozens of websites that he is behind and his company produces. And I was reading articles about how they're profitable. They have tons of traffic, obviously tons of user-generated content as well. And the sites go on and on. I mean, we'll talk to him about it, but everything from I Has a Hot Dog to There I Fixed It, part of the Fail blogs. And the list goes on and on.
He does lolcats. He does lol dogs.
Art of trolling.
Yeah. I mean, just, it's really, he's quite an amazing entrepreneur. Some of these he's acquired, some of them he's built. But I think he figured out there's something going on here. And it's now an internet legend.
It really is. And, you know, we'll talk to him about this as well, but he has a great little story in terms of his first fail in the dot-com world and losing a bunch of money. And,
oh, neat.
So it'll be fun to talk to him about how he kind of turned it all around and has succeeded in such a major way.
I love Fail Blog. That's my current... I'm not a big I Can't Has Cheeseburger fan, but I love Fail Blog.
Yeah, the Fail Blog's pretty funny.
It's just hysterical.
As long as you don't show up there.
Yeah, you don't ever want to be on Fail Blog.
No.
That's an embarrassment.
Do you think of that? Sorry, Leah, just out of curiosity, because now you're recording a bunch of shows and putting them online. You know, you're not just live. Do you think are you more cautious of what you do on Twitter now?
No. You know, the truth is you hope to God you go viral. And that's if you go viral because your ball popped or because you said a bad word or something stupid happened, hey, at least you went viral.
Yeah.
So I don't think anybody, I mean, maybe it's a little embarrassing, but if you're in this business, you want to be on Fail Blog or anywhere else you can get, you know. I mean, it's just the attention is great.
It's good, yeah. For driving traffic.
Unless you're Tiger Woods, then maybe it's not so great.
Not so good.
Not
there.
So hot. Hey, let's get to some of the news before we get to Ben on the air. YouTube did a big redesign. We found out about it last week because we were trying to upload videos and we couldn't get them uploaded. And then next morning, lo and behold, oh, YouTube's completely different.
Yeah, they really overhauled their site. I think they launched the new version last Wednesday. Some of the big changes that I've noticed is their ranking as far as...
no more stars.
Ratings. Yeah, no more stars.
Just they thumbs up, thumbs down. It's kind of like Dig.
Thumbs up and thumbs down. Yeah. Very similar to Dig. Also, they've kind of made it less cluttered. To be honest with you, Leo, I mean, I've been poking around. I don't notice a huge difference. You know, I think some parts of it are a little bit better than others, but... I don't know. What's your opinion on it?
Some people complained that they couldn't find stuff that they were able to find before, but I think you just get used to it. It, you know, look at, first of all, Google is not renowned for its design, right? YouTube was getting pretty crufty over the years. I mean, how old was it? 3 years old. That's like 110 in internet years. And, you know, as is often the case with the site, you know, as you add features, you just start throwing it on the page and pretty soon it becomes crazy. So sites got to do a redesign pretty regularly, I think. In fact, if you look at YouTube, it doesn't look that different.
It doesn't. And you know what? I think the difference is when they redesign Facebook and they add new features, it's a different situation because most people on Facebook are doing different things. I mean, they may be adding applications or uploading photos or posting on walls so that they're emailing. On YouTube, most people are really just watching videos. So even if they redesign the site and you find the video you want, you're just clicking play. I mean, it's not, there aren't as many steps and as much functionality involved for the average user, I would say.
Right. Yeah, well, it's about time they did that. We're going to come back in just a bit. A good friend of ours, you mentioned Dig, a good friend of ours has made a big change.
I know.
And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Also, Ben Ha will join us to talk about I Can't Has Cheeseburger. But we should mention our friends at Citrix briefly and say hello to them and encourage you to try GoToMeeting. Amber, you're doing so much traveling. You sure could benefit from a product like this. The average business trip, according to the American Express, costs $1,000 when you add airfare, hotel, cab. I'm surprised it's not more. $1,000. And you can absolutely eliminate that trip with GoToMeeting. Start having those meetings online. You say, well, but no, I have this great PowerPoint presentation I want to show the client. You can do it with GoToMeeting. Oh, no, but I need to show them the drawings. We need to go over spreadsheets. We need to collaborate. You can do that. Oh, but I have to train them on software. You can do that. GoToMeeting, you can have all the meetings you want for just $49 a month. It's a lot less than $1,000. And that's for as many trips, as many meetings as you need. I want you to try it free right now. You go to gotomeeting.com/night. You'll have it installed literally before the end of the show. In fact, it really just takes about 30 seconds. Once it's on your system, now the next time you are going to have a conference call, you send them an invitation. You could even do it while you're on the phone with them. Say, go to gotomeeting.com, click a button, you start a meeting. They enter the meeting ID. Now suddenly they're seeing your computer on their screen, full screen. You're showing them the PowerPoint. You're showing them the spreadsheets. You're showing them the drawings. They can take control and show you what they've got. You can do training because even if they don't have the application, they can use it on your system through GoToMeeting. I just go on and on. It's really great. It's the best way to do online meetings. We use it all the time here. We have several house accounts. And now, by the way, if you're in the U.S., GoToMeeting's available on the iPad.
Oh, that's
isn't that cool?
Fantastic. That's really cool.
Imagine having, you know, you have, you're out in the park or, you know, you got a meeting, but you'd like to get out of the office.
Yes, I can imagine
iPad,
that.
You start the GoToMeeting thing, you go to the meeting, and you could say, oh, yes, I'm sitting here in front of my computer, and you could participate in the meeting. Love it. GoToMeeting.com/night. By the way, that iPad app is absolutely free. In fact, the first month is free. Just go to GoToMeeting.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of the Net at Night show. So Kevin Rose is now the CEO of Digg.
Yeah. So Jay has stepped down as
Jay Adelson.
Yep. I think this just happened yesterday, if
yeah.
I'm right.
Yeah.
So now Kevin is taking a more active role. And as far as I know, too, from just recent news that has come out, he's already made some changes to the Digg site and put out a memo on that or a note on that.
He didn't like the, now we talked a little bit about this when they did this, and I wasn't real fond of the Digg bar. That was the frame they did. And then remember, Kevin actually was on Twit. He just got back from vacation, and I sprung it on him. I said, you know, Kevin, you guys are doing now your own URL shortener. He said, we are. He didn't know about it. I have to think, okay, read between the lines, and I haven't spoken to Kevin. I have no idea that maybe Kevin and Jay weren't seeing quite eye to eye on the direction Digg was going. You know, Kevin is one of us. Kevin's a real user.
Mm-hmm.
And admittedly, when you've got a company, you have to do things to monetize. You have to try to figure out ways to make money. That's one of the real missions at Digg. You know, they've got this great site, they've got millions of users, but they need to find ways to make it work.
Yeah. Yes, but it's kind of like his baby too. I mean, I remember in the early days when he was starting it, it was just he hired Owen from Halifax on the development side and
Daniel.
Daniel Burka as well, who actually recently left.
He has a new job. Yeah.
Yeah, he has a new job, but it's great that he's back and sort of is behind probably some new changes on the site as well.
Mark Millian, who's another great friend of Twit, writing in the LA Times, says, Kevin Rose, the 33-year-old beer aficionado and online video personality, has announced significant changes to the site's architecture. This is the morning after taking over as CEO. They're going to kill off the Digg bar. Which was, you and I agreed, kind of harkening back to the web of the 90s. I mean, nobody did framing anymore. He wrote on the company blog today, framing content with an iframe is bad for the internet. He knew that. And they've also gotten rid of the short URLs. He went on to discuss how the tool confuses web surfers because it masks the actual URL of the page you're on. And, you know, there were all sorts of problems because it wouldn't refresh. You'd refresh the page and this Digg count would be the same and so forth. Now, this was interesting. They're also removing restrictions on which publishers can appear on the site. A fairly large number of web domains have been banned from Digg's catalog for spamming and gaming Digg. He's going to pardon them all. A restart. I'm not sure why he's doing that. I guess maybe he just wants a fresh start. And he says, of course, we're going to continue to monitor for gaming and malicious sites, but we're going to give everybody a chance to start over. Also, the next version of Digg is coming pretty soon. It's going to be trickling out in the next few weeks. So there is a new iPad app, by the way, for Digg, an iPhone and Android app for the Digg. I think it's great that, you know, we love Kevin. Kevin's a regular on Twit, and you and I both know him well. And I think it's good that he's kind of taken over, and he's one of us. He's a user first, I think.
Yeah, you know what? I'm excited because I think he has real vision as far as kind of what users want, and like you said, he's very hands-on, and he's so smart, I think, in coming up with new feature ideas and sort of thinking outside of the box. And so it'll be fun to see him and see what he comes up with.
Did you get an iPod yet? iPad.
Yes.
You did? You're in Canada.
Yes, I know. When you said iPod, I was like, I've had one.
Well, did I not give you your first iPod?
I had one before that. You remember, probably. I had my pink iPod.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And then you gave me
your first iPhone I gave you.
Yeah. And the red.
Are you sure you had an iPod before I gave you?
I had a pink one. I think it broke because remember I took it apart on the set and tried to replace the battery I don't know. I did something to it, but you got me a new one.
I got everybody a new one. It wasn't just you. I got everybody.
Yeah,
new
no,
one.
Everyone. And you know what? I still see people and the crew are carrying them around.
Red Nanos. It was a Christmas present the last year that we did Call for Help in Toronto. And I think it even said Call for Help on it, Toronto.
Yeah, it says Call for Help and then Team maybe 2006 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I still use mine. It's working really well.
No, really? I think it's time for a new one. But did you get an iPad for yourself? How did you get one?
Okay, so I was in Chicago and arrived there on Saturday afternoon. It was pouring rain late in the morning and throughout most of the day. But I thought, okay, I'm going to run down to the Apple store and see what's happening there and see if there's a lineup. And so I went there. There's no lineup. I walked inside and I started chatting with one of the people working there. And I said to him, I said, you know, how long would it take me to order an iPad online in terms of the waiting and everything? And he just looked at me with his really strange face. And he says, we have a bunch of them here if you want one.
Oh, wow.
And I said, really? And so my brother had asked me to pick him one up because I sort of decided a while ago, as much as I think it's a pretty revolutionary device, I have so many Macs and I really want to wait for the second generation. I'm hoping it will have a built-in camera. And I bought one for my brother and played with the iPads there at the store and got a sense of how they work and everything. But so you know what, Leo, a ton of Canadians drove down to get iPads. I've heard endless stories. So.
I bet they did. Well, there's a couple of people who apparently just don't appreciate the iPad, like this kid on Brafe.com who smashed it with a bat.
Wait. Go. Drop it.
Always pains me to see this. Oh, why? Why are you doing this? Why?
I hate when people destroy anything.
Oh,
actually.
I hate that. I'm going to stop looking. This is just, you know, for all the people who don't have iPads, to watch that is terrible. But I have to say, I do enjoy Will It Blend.
Oh.
And they blended an iPad.
Did they?
Yeah, it does in fact blend. Just in case you were, whoa, wow! I just went to Will It Blend and got a major system error.
I can't believe that. I mean, I know that they blended the iPhone as well.
Yeah, they blended everything.
So how did they fit the iPad in there? Sorry, now I'm just trying to.
Well, I would love to know, but apparently the Will It Blend site is now completely down.
That makes sense.
It's ASP. It's .net, and it's crashed on us. You know, you really shouldn't have this happen on websites anymore.
No.
An unhandled exception was generated. It's like a blue screen of death for your website.
Especially, they should be able to sort of forecast how much traffic they might get with all.
I don't think it's a traffic thing. I think that the .net server crashed.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to go to YouTube and watch it. So it's a company. It's a blender company. So they started doing this to show how tough their blenders were.
Yeah, I think they started with, I think, a 2x4 or a big piece of wood. And they spent about $500 on just getting a video camera. And they got the head of the company to get in a lab coat and just blend a big piece of wood, and it sort of escalated from there because this is the question.
It says, don't try this with your new iPad. So I mean, basically anything, if you can blend a 2x4, you're going to be able to blend an iPad.
I love my new iPad. It does a ton of cool things, but will it blend? That is the question. Doesn't quite fit in the jar, but I can take care of that.
What is he going to do? Oh, no. Oh, no. He's breaking it in half. This man is insane. All to show how tough their blenders are. Oh, now he's got it stuffed in there.
I knew I could get the iPad in a blend.
Oh, doesn't it hurt?
I think I'll press the iBlend button.
All right, you get the message. It blended. enough to, safe to say, it blended.
Wow.
And of course, at the end, you get all you get is a bunch of toxic dust. Just gray dust.
I'm looking at a big smile.
Oh, look at that. I don't know if I'd recommend that. That can't be good for you.
Don't breathe this.
Oh, jeez.
That was one tough pad.
Yes, it blends.
There's something fundamentally wrong with that. I love that they do it, but it, you know, if you look at how many people would love to get their hands on that iPad.
Well, now, I don't know if there's a shortage or not. They say that Apple says they sold over 300,000 in the first day. If you go on the Apple site, you have to wait a few more weeks to get your iPad. I've already ordered the 3G version. I think most people will want to wait for one that has built-in 3G, except for you, because you wouldn't be able to use it in Canada, would you?
Yeah. Did you actually get one? Do you have one already? You have one there, right, Leo, with you right now?
Oh, of course I do. What do you think? Yeah. Of course I have an iPad. And I love
it. Are you liking it?
I can't stop playing with it. We've done a number of shows. If you want to know more, I don't want to take over this show, too, but if you want to know more about the iPad, this week's Twit, the Sunday Twit on April 4th, we talked about it with Jenny Jardin, who was one of the early reviewers, was on along with Jason Calacanis and Robert Scobel and his son Patrick talking about apps. And then MacBreak Weekly this week, the April 7th or April 6th version, has John Gruber, Andy Anako, Alex Lindsay, and Chris Breen from Macworld Magazine. So we've done a lot of coverage.
I'll have to listen to that.
Suffice to say, love it. Yes. And we do have, you know about the TwitPad app that Houdini 7 wrote for us from ShiftKey Software.
Ooh, I think you mentioned this.
You can actually watch Twit live on the iPad and even chat while you're watching because there's enough screen real estate. I can launch the chat. See, there you are. Right there. And there's the chat room right here.
So that's awesome.
Isn't that cool? So you can chat and watch. And he was saying in the chat room that one of Apple's requirements is that it rotate in all four axes. He said that was hard to implement. Watch this. This is good programming. Whoop, you turn it sideways. Whoop, you turn it upside down. You turn it sideways. It rotates in all four axes. He did a really nice job. Rearranges and everything. And the chat room is going in there. So very nice job, Houdini 7. That 99 cents. I told him he should charge. He's worked so hard on this thing. And we are going to send him an iPad, too, as a thank you. But he should charge because so it's called TwitPad if you go to the iPad store. I'm having fun. I read a book on it. Been playing lots of games on it. Consumed content on it. The one thing that drives me crazy, you know, for this show and all the shows that we do, that I try to read the content and put it in Delicious when I want to cover it. There doesn't seem to be any way to do that. I'm hoping somebody will come along with a newsreader that will let me bookmark in Delicious. That's all I ask.
That's it?
Let's get Ben on. Request. What do you say? Has Cheeseburger. What a great story and a great site. And we're going to get Ben on in just a second. Before we do, though, can I mention Squarespace.com?
Oh, I have been mentioning it a lot, Leo.
Have you? Tell me why.
Well, because I every time I do a keynote presentation, I always talk about Squarespace. So at DePaul yesterday, I was talking to some of the educators in terms of putting up their own websites, how it's a fantastic way to actually put up a site really easily and really inexpensively for just $8 a month. And also, I spoke to a class of students at DePaul as well and said if they should actually all start their own websites and get into the whole personal branding before they graduate from school. And recommended Squarespace there as well. And I think they were all pretty keen on it.
Oh, it's great.
So easy to use.
And the sites look great. And I've said this a couple of times. If you go to the examples page at squarespace.com/night and look at the examples, they all look different. There's no like typical Squarespace site. You start with the templates. But if you know CSS, you can make it look anything you want. And not just for blogs, for any kind of website. They have e-commerce. They have amazing stats, a wonderful iPhone application. I'm sure it'll be an iPad application soon. For businesses, for blogs, for personal sites, for photographers. I know Chris, your partner, does it. Look, here's Sword and Laser. This is the site that Veronica and Tom Merritt do for their podcast.
Oh, okay.
The podcast is embedded in there. You couldn't make it easier to use. I just think this is the way to create a site. $8 a month. And by the way, if you decide you want to, you know, you can try it for free. Just going to squarespace.com/night. 2 weeks free. You don't even need a credit card. But if you decide you want to stick around, use the coupon code night, NIGHT, and you'll get 10% off for life, forever. Look, here's Dane Cook's site. Yep, it's a Squarespace site. So one of the things that's neat about Squarespace is they have this virtual server technology that allows them to throw more bandwidth at as needed. So you never get, you know, what happened with a Will It Blend site. You never get bogged down. You never get errors. It's just incredible. Squarespace.com/night. Take a look. I think you're going to love it.
It's also easy. We should mention what I love about it is that if you decide that you don't like the layout of your website and you want to switch it up and move things around, I mean, it's as easy as literally dragging and dropping different things around the page when designing it. So that's also
so
nice because
cool.
I think you get kind of bored with the designs after a while, but it makes it really easy to change without going to a whole new back-end infrastructure.
You know, I should ask Ben if he's using Square. He should use Squarespace. Can you imagine the amount of energy that Ben spends on websites and design and all that? I'm sure he has people that do this. Ben Ha is our guest. He's the creator of I Can Has Cheeseburger and many other sites, including the Great Fail blog. He calls himself an internet content connoisseur. Ben, welcome to Net at Night.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Oh, it's great to see
Ben.
Hi, Amber.
Did you have fun in Austin? It was fun seeing you there.
Very much so. I just saw a picture of you guys in Austin. I was trying to figure out what that was.
Maybe at the dig event? Was it at the dig event, maybe? I don't know.
Yes. Actually, I was just reading an article about the Guinness Book of World Records record set for crowdsurfing.
Yes.
That was there. Yeah.
Yes.
And I was certainly there. Yeah.
It was the longest crowdsurf while live streaming. Very important distinction. I'm sure there have been longer crowdsurfs. But none live streaming.
But it's the only one I've been at personally.
So. The only one I've ever heard of.
So
yeah,
Ben,
me too.
How did you get started doing this?
Well, so technically, I'm the founder of the Cheeseburger Network, which is the cluster of 45 or so humor sites that we run.
Right.
The site I Can Has Cheeseburger was actually created by two people in Hawaii, and I had actually purchased the site from them.
You've been acquiring sites like crazy.
Well, actually, we've only acquired five. I think the perception is that we're acquiring sites all the time, but it seems like people hear about it because the press talks about it.
Right.
But we've built the vast majority of the sites that you guys have come to love.
So Cheeseburger, when you saw it, how did you know that it was going to be big?
Well, I didn't. to be honest, I had a job that I didn't really like, so I wanted to leave. And I figured this one is just as good of a way to risk your entire career.
How would you describe the site to people who really haven't visited and don't get right away what it's about?
Well, I think it's about people having fun through the lives of cat pictures. It's basically cats are a canvas for humor and emotion, and people write funny captions on it.
It is kind of, to me, I'm so sick of it. Are you still loving it or are you sick of it yet?
This is the site that I save till the end of the day. This is my little treat.
I guess if you love cats, you're going to just, there's no way you cannot not love it.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I don't even have a cat. I'm allergic to cats. So dog is probably a little curious about this.
Virtual cats. So what was the job you were sick of? What was it you were trying to get out of?
You know, I was a product manager for a startup, and we had a big client who was a telecom giant. And you know, they would tell us to jump, and my job was to ask how high. Yeah.
And I read a story as well. I don't know if it was with that startup where you ended up being $40,000 in debt and you had to pay back that money. And instead of running away from the whole internet world, you obviously came back with a vengeance.
Oh yeah, that was 1999. That was dot-com boom, and everybody was doing a startup. I was straight out of college. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. It took a long while for me to dig out of that, but yeah.
And so with all of the sites that you've started, also I read that they are profitable, unlike many other sites out there.
Yeah, that's actually true. You know, our users are our writers, and we have a team of editors and moderators here who basically go through and make sure the community is thriving, and that's our core focus.
So tell me about the sites. It started with the lolcats and I Can Has Cheeseburger. What was next?
Yeah, and then we started I as a Hot Dog, which was our dog site.
Okay, I love it. Funny. Lol dogs and puppies.
Yes.
We're going to need an
art. Of course, if you're a dog fan. And then at some point, we bought Failblog. And Failblog was pretty small at the time.
Oh, I love Failblog. Failblog's really, really great. Helping you feel better about yourself every day.
And it works.
Is most of the monetization through banner ads?
Yeah, it's most of our ads revenue comes through banner ads.
And you sell those directly, or do you use an ad network?
No. We use exclusively ad networks. So, you know, a lot of people have said, hey, you guys are leaving a lot of money on the table. And I said, you know, that's fine with me. I would prefer to have us focus on content than on ad sales.
Yeah, I feel the same way. We use an ad network as well. We use Podtrac. Who do you use?
Oh, lots of different people. Mm-hmm. You know, MTV Networks, Technorati, Advertising.com, you know, the list goes on and on. We probably work with about maybe more than a dozen networks.
It's kind of a testament to the infrastructure being mature now that you can do that. You can be a content guy and just say, look, we'll have somebody else do the ad stuff.
Absolutely. And ad networks over the last 3 years have grown far faster than any other kind of ad force out there. So,
you know, this is the worst collection of sites to look at when you're trying to pay attention to an interview, because literally
you're distracted, aren't you?
cheeseburger.com/sites, and I'm finding things like the Ridiculous Poses site, which has the fine art of modeling, so models in ridiculous poses, and the list goes on and on. It just seems like you have content that would really cater to anyone out there.
Yeah, and that's part of the goal. Our mission statement is to make people happy for 5 minutes a day, so we basically end up, you know, coming up with ideas and go, you know, who would like this kind of stuff?
So this is a philosophy. You believe in the short attention span of people.
Oh, I have a short attention span. This interview is going to be a real challenge for me, guys.
Oh, no.
Are you bored already?
I'm totally kidding. No, I mean, part of my, you know, role is to obviously go deep dive and focus on stuff. And part of it's obviously to just have fun. And we actually emphasize really having fun.
Are you still acquiring sites?
We are on occasion, but we've gotten so good at launching new websites that, you know, it's become more rarer for us to buy anything. So we bought a handful of sites early on, but not so much anymore.
Yeah, you kind of know now what to do, huh?
Yeah, we do. We can launch a new website every week, and we actually go out and try the stuff, and if it fails, then we shut it down. If not, we keep going.
So how do you get a sense of sort of what type of site you're going to launch? I mean, you really do have everything here. I just stumbled across babies making faces, which is absolutely hilarious.
That's a natural. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, does something go off in your head, or is it a sort of a collaborative effort when you're working with your team to come up with ideas?
Yeah, it's absolutely collaborative. So we sit here in the office and we say, hey, you know, what can we do to make more, you know, what's the stuff that's being sent into us? You know, what kind of doesn't fall into an existing bucket that we have. So we get about 18,000 pieces of content every day that get sent in.
Wow.
So, you know, we go in and we try to find, oh, that face is all adorable. We go in and try to find this stuff and say, you know, what are our users trying to tell us through this magic of the internet, right? What are the tubes really giving us?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. How big a staff do you have?
There's about 40 people in the company.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah, it's pretty large. You know, we have an entire person dedicated to just creating books, which I'm apparently obligated to tell you.
Let's plug the book. I Can Has Hot Dog, the book.
I Has Hot Dog, the book. And it's about what your dog is really thinking.
Is that out now?
April 20th.
Oh, excellent. Available on Amazon for pre-order now?
Absolutely.
Of course it is.
Part of my job is to sell products on the internet.
All good. So, I mean, in some ways, it seems like you really have your dream job. I mean, you've been able to make a career out of posting ridiculously funny things that I'm sure at one point you thought, you know, this would just be a waste of time, but you've turned it into a full-blown career.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's a career yet. It's a job now. I'm not sure if I can do this forever. You know, somebody else might not hire me to do this again. Who knows? But I really enjoy what we do here, and I love the fact that we've been able to create an entire company of people who enjoy the same things that I do. We sit here and talk about internet culture all day long.
Right, right.
And after 5 o'clock is bureau clock, and we sit around sometimes and we talk about new site ideas.
Do you ever look at sites and go, oh, I wish I'd thought of that?
All the time. Absolutely all the time. Yeah. The internet's a big place, and there's no way we're going to cover everything.
What's a favorite that you didn't do that you wish you did do?
Text from last night.
Love that site. Yeah.
Yeah. Lauren, and I know Lauren and Ben, his name's Ben, apparently. This is like a business for people named Ben. Ben Bader and Lauren Leto, and I've they did a wonderful job. They did a great job of actually curating that community, and that's a brilliant site.
It's also a great iPhone app.
Yeah. Oh, they did a great job of that.
Yeah, yeah. And they,
and
have,
they have a book, too.
They have a book. Damn them. Damn them.
Everyone's writing books.
Yeah.
Wow. I just get, like, literally, I've known about a few of your different sites, but I didn't realize there was such a collection. And
yeah, we've lost just, Amber. She's...
Honestly,
this is like the quietest I've heard you in a while.
She is. She's off in the cheeseburger zone.
I normally have so many questions to ask people, but I'm looking through these and I'm arriving like ugliest tattoos.
Oh, God, that's great. Oh, that's like you will tattoos. Fall through a trend. Yeah.
So if you go to cheeseburger, C-H-E-E-Z or Z for the Canadians listening, burger.com/sites, you'll see at the bottom there's a whole list. And I mean, you said a few sites, but this is what you got 30 sites, it looks like, in the book.
45, I think.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And these are all just now. Do you you must have a system for putting these up? Do you have a run your own servers? Do you have a big back end? How do you must have some process that you use now?
Leo, I'm going to disappoint you with a lack of some nitty gritty technological gem here, but we run base installation of WordPress.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Yeah, we're hosted on WordPress.com. The 45 sites that you're looking at, they're all hosted on WordPress.com.
Talk about, now see, again, brilliant. Outsourcing it. You don't have to do the ads. You don't have to do the hosting. You don't have to do the managing of the servers. You don't even have to write the content management system. It's all content.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I mean, we look like a blog because we use blog software, but we're not really a blog, right? No. We're just a bunch of content sites.
Right.
Yeah.
But what is a blog anyway? It's just, you know.
That's right.
It's just a website. Yeah.
So are there any sites coming out in the next few weeks? Any new gems?
I think we're working on a shoes site. So we're actually starting to create a collection of kind of cute-oriented sites. So we hired a manager editor out of AOL to do that, and we're launching a new shoe site. And I think we're going to do we're going to tackle some big areas of humor that are still left out there.
There are a few.
I can't give away. There's still a few out there. So we're going to go try those. But we're working hard on our video projects.
That's good.
Last month, I think we did 120 million views of videos.
So how do you tell me about that? Do you put them on YouTube? How do you do that?
Yeah, we our primary hosting provider is Vidler.
Vidler. Love Vidler. Those guys
are
great.
Yeah, they do a great job. Yeah. And we're working to get iPad compatibility because of the flash issues.
Right.
And then we then host on YouTube as well.
Very good.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, you remind me of something Philip Kaplan once told me. He said the best thing to do with a site is let the users create all the content. Then you can just sit back and collect the money. You don't even have to. You just they send you all this stuff and you just say, that's a good one. Post that one.
Yeah, it's actually interesting because we spend an inordinate amount of time filtering through that content. And that's part of kind of why we exist as a community today is that we get that 18,000 pieces of content. Somebody has to go look through that stuff to make sure they apply, you know, they're you know, for the family-friendly sites, that they're family-friendly.
Yeah.
And they meet the subject matter of the sites that
and they're funny.
That we'll submit to. They're funny.
You have to curate them. Sure.
Absolutely. But yeah, we would be nothing without our users. We absolutely thrive on the community.
It's about the community.
And it's probably a big deal for a lot of them when they get featured. I'm guessing it's sort of
This is your Happy Cat 2009 New Year's resolutions. Is this yours? This is yours, right?
This is ours, yeah.
See, who wouldn't love this? And then people embed them, and they spread, and it's just automatic. It's just it's magic time. Build the community. Keep people laughing, and they will come.
Absolutely.
Ben, you're great. It's a great spirit. I really enjoyed seeing you on Buzz Out Loud at South by Southwest. And
those guys do a great job.
That was so fun. Well, that's what gave me the idea. I said, we got to get this guy on the show.
Yeah.
This guy's great.
Thank you for joining us. And I apologize if I seem distracted, but that's pretty much all your fault.
I'll take all the blame.
Okay, good.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. Ben Ha, cheeseburger with the Z.com. If you want to see all of the sites. And don't forget the book, which is now available for pre-order on Amazon. What's it called? I Has a Hot Dog?
Yeah, just named after the dog site. I Has a Hot Dog.
I Has a Hot Dog. Lol Dogs and Puppies. They're all yours waiting for you, and the book will be out soon. And I see you have a Kindle version, which is interesting.
That's up to the publisher.
I don't know how that works.
I, I have no idea how that happened.
I'm sure it'll look fine on the iPad. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks a lot.
Great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Ben Ha, cheeseburger.com. What a kind of a neat story, you know, and a really good example of how content is king.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is amazing. You could spend a lot of time on those different websites, as I just did.
I think Amber wants to be let go. We can't let you go just yet. We will soon.
No. I actually had to close it down because I kept clicking on things because it's so enticing. And then you get there and you think, okay, this can't be that good. But every single site is good. The content is really quality because you get, you know, oftentimes people will send me stuff. I don't find it that funny. But I think what's nice about all of his sites is obviously they've taken time to filter through everything and the gems have risen to the top.
Do you notice, I have this kind of bad, I guess, urge kind of come up with something that nobody's seen before. You know, you don't want to forward a video that everybody else is forwarding. So if you find something that nobody, like it's got 100 views, you go, yes.
Yeah, I do that too. Or you know what really I don't do a lot, Leo, is that I don't forward it. So I'll see something that's really cool and it doesn't have a lot of views and I'll be like, oh, big deal. And then 2 days later, it has 5 million views. And I'm thinking, why didn't I send that? I should have known. So that's actually what I run into more often. Or that my timing is bad. Like sometimes, and I don't know if you feel this way, just because we're in the sort of early adopter kind of tech world, sometimes a little too early on stuff, you know? So that will happen
always.
With sites that, you know, because I'm writing a lot now that, you know, someone will say to me, oh, you know, Amber, we want you to write about this new site, Chat Roulette. And I'm like, well, it's like 2 months old. So are you sure? You know? And so I'm always, my timing isn't fantastic.
It's hard, you know? I mean, you jumped on things like YouTube long before. And that's the other thing is you can, and, you know, you'll never get remembered for that. But you were one of the first people, you showed me YouTube and a lot of things like that. So it's hard. I think I have a pretty good instinct, but you can't easily be too early. Google's Buzz, by the way, a perfect example, which I love. But it's just not catching on. And once again, I feel like I've done this before with Jaiku and Pounce and FriendFeed. I keep looking for the next Twitter. And Twitter seems to be the next Twitter.
Yeah, there's nothing.
No matter what I do, Twitter is the next Twitter.
Yeah, it's growing like crazy.
Hey, let's take a break. We got a couple more links. And I know we've got a video. Or no, we've got a site of the night tonight.
I have a really, really, really fun site that you're going to love. I look for stuff just for you because I know this one will entertain you.
As do I. Anytime I see a good site, I forward it along immediately. But I do want to tell everybody about the great audible.com. It's a great chance for you to get involved in audiobooks. If you haven't started listening to audiobooks yet, you really want to. It is just a wonderful way to, you know, of course, I know you listen to podcasts and you probably have a ton of podcasts to listen to. And there's nothing wrong with podcasts, but they tend to be current events. There's also reading in the world. There's great literature out there. There's science fiction. There's information, education, all awaiting you. And who has the time? That's where Audible just comes in for me. I love Audible because I can keep up on what's going on. I can entertain. I can read the great classics all during the time that I'm not normally available. When I'm driving, when I'm at the gym, when I'm gardening, when I'm cleaning house, I have the audiobooks on almost all the time, and I just love it. We've recommended so many fun books from Audible.com. I want you to go to Audible.com/night right now and take a look at what's out there. 70,000 choices, and I like to recommend one. You're going to get your first book free if you go there. Sign up for that gold account. That's a book a month. First one's free. Keep it even if you cancel it anytime. Here's one that just came out that I thought maybe I should get for you, Amber, since you're now living with two men.
Yes,
the book is called The Male Brain, A Breakthrough Understanding of How Men and Boys Think.
Ooh, I need that.
Let's see. It's written by a woman, of course. Luann Brizendine, narrated by Kimberly Farrell. Let me just listen to a little bit. I have a preview of this.
The true force behind the throne, running most of the male brain circuits. She has the ability to increase his desire to cuddle and relate by stimulating his oxytocin.
It's a woman that's running the male brain. Who could have figured that one out?
Of course, Leo. Come on.
The Male Brain, A Breakthrough Understanding of How Men and Boys Think. You see, you listen to this, you get inspired, you learn. I love Audible. Give it a try. audible.com/night. We thank them so much for their support of the Net at Night program. By the way, it works great on the iPad. I was listening to a book last night on the iPad.
Cool. You know what I want to? I actually want to get, and I just noticed it's on Audible. I'm going to get Linchpin by Seth Godin because I just had yesterday tell me it's really good.
I think all of Seth's books are on there. And I don't, does he read his own books on here? I think he does.
He does. He does this one.
Yeah. He's a great marketer, a brilliant guy on, you know, just kind of understanding all of this. Linchpin is the brand new one. Are You Indispensable? There's a good one. Second pick. Mm-hmm. Give you two picks.
Two picks.
Yeah, he reads all of them, it looks like. So let us move on. We've got the Superfly t-shirt that displays, get ready for this, how much mail you have.
Yes.
I want this because, you know, I've got like 30,000 unanswered emails in my inbox.
You know what? Unfortunately, it can't scale to that amount yet, Theo, I will tell you.
Here's a shirt that my wife, Madeline, and I made that shows how much unread email I have. We designed the shirt with some text and a row of numbers here and got those printed. But the main component is this Arduino LilyPad microcontroller.
On the shirt!
Connected to that, we've got the row of LEDs here. We have a power supply that takes a AAA battery. And the power supply is connected to everything else using conductive thread that we've sewn into the shirt. Finally, there's a Bluetooth dongle here, and the way that's going to work is we have an Android phone that knows how much email I have. It's going to tell the LilyPad using the dongle, and then the LilyPad's going to show that number on these LEDs.
But it only goes to 64. See, I need a different shirt.
You can see that the power lights are on, but there aren't any LEDs on
there. He says.
Don't have an email yet.
Oh, yeah, because you add them all up. If all the lights are on.
And it's going to show up.
Sure. If all the lights are on, it would be 127. So he has one email unanswered.
Showing my Gmail inbox, and you can see that, in fact, I do have one email. She's going to send another one now, and you're going to be able to see it show up on the shirt. The way that all of this works is that the numbers are in binary. So you count by adding all of the lights that are turned on. There's a second one. Adding the numbers next to them.
So that is the geekiest thing I ever saw in my life.
It's awesome. Leo, imagine that if you were somewhere and you're really busy and all of a sudden people see your shirt light up to like 6,500 emails, you're like, listen, I have to go. Take a look at my shirt.
Well, the beauty, it is in binary, so it wouldn't take very long. It doubles each one, so I would only need a few more lines to cover all my emails.
That's it.
Wow.
Anyway, it's kind of fun.
That's very
fun. So now for our side of the night. And I should say with our side of the night, it is a little game that you can find on Hunch.com. And this is a relatively new service or site that has come out. And
Sarah recommended this, didn't she? I think she did.
Oh, maybe she did.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know I'm a member. I don't know why I'm a member. Somebody, maybe you or Sarah recommended it.
She must have because, anyway, the Flickr co-founder, Katarina Fake.
Oh, Katarina Fake made it. That's right. Maybe I just found it. Yeah.
And you know, we should get her on the show just to talk about the site in general. But what I wanted to show you is a new thing that came out on the site. It's called the Hunches Follower Predictor. And this is predicting what type of people are following you on Twitter. And so you can just go to hunch.com/Twitter-followers
right.
And you can put in your name.
Yeah.
So I've sent you a link with mine, but we can always put your name.
Should I do mine? Now do you need to?
Yeah, let's do yours.
All right, I'm going to do Leo Laporte on Hunch as well as Twitter, so that's
going to do it at the
same
time.
Convenient. Loading follower predictions. When Hunch asks this, Leo Laporte followers are more likely to answer, okay, how are you most likely to talk about computers? Like a gearhead talking about a 4-barrel V8 engine. Yeah, baby. Which of the following magazines would you most likely read if trapped in a waiting room with nothing else to do? Wired. Do you use open source software on your PC? Yes, deliberately. I like the... This is right. This is all right on.
I know.
Yeah. What do you carry in your pockets? Well, my change, my wallet, my keys, my pen, my PDA, my MP3 player, and my snacks. Do you ever listen to audiobooks? Yes. Which one do you carry? Backpack. Are you male or female? Male. How frequently do you wear makeup? Never. It shows you what wallet you use, how often you back up your computer constantly. This is really funny.
I know.
Oh, who do you find most attractive? Who is this woman?
I don't know. This is based also on a list, the sort of a survey that you can go through to find out if Hunch knows you well based on,
it does.
I think, who you are following. So it probably has pictures of multiple women on it. But just things like Leo asking, does Leo Laporte's audience, do you own your own domain name? And the answer is yes, multiple.
Multiple. Do you have an iPhone? Yes. What is the ratio of computers to people? More than one per person?
If you had to choose chick lit or sci-fi, what do you choose?
Sci-fi. This is absolutely right on.
I know.
Who are you most like? Dilbert. How many times in a typical day do you check your email? I get my email pushed out to my cell phone or smartphone. True. This is really good. Who does your taxes? I have a professional do my taxes. True. Now, when was the last time you had a manicure? See, it says I've never had one. Actually, of course, I have many times. But that's because I'm a television personality. So this looks at your who follows you and then figures this all out?
Yes, Leo. And you know what? I tried to find out exactly how it works. And you go into their FAQs and it sort of says that more or less they're not going to reveal their secrets of how they do it. That's why I want to get Katarina on the show, because they do a bunch of fun stuff like this on the site.
So I have a number of followers here. And I have, I remember when I first saw this, you go through, you answer some questions and so forth, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And every time you visit, it'll ask you another question. Are you a parent? Yes. Yeah, I think we did this on the show.
Yeah, you might have done it with Sarah.
Yeah. Would you describe yourself as generally more an introvert or an extrovert? Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I'm going to, extrovert. Do you think standards should change from generation to generation or stay the same? It seems like everything else in this world has changed, so standards should change. This is good. This is good. So I'm answering questions, and then it's learning more about me.
Yeah. As it goes on. And I think the Twitter followers thing, I think it just came out recently, like in the past.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one before.
Yeah, so I think that's a new one. But it's fun. I mean, I think if you want to get a sense of the type of people who are following you, and because we don't really think about that all that much, it's fun to go through the list. And for me, you know, same sort of thing. It was fairly accurate.
Well, when Katarina started this, I immediately joined because I thought, well, what anything Katarina Fake does is going to be interesting because she started Flickr. But then I kind of got lost interest and, you know, I haven't been back in a while. So, but obviously she's continued on doing some great stuff. Hunch.com. My dear, we have come to the end of this fabulous program, but it is not the end of Amber MacArthur. By no means, no.
She does. I'm coming back for more next week.
She does a ton of stuff. She's got CommandN.TV, which is her video podcast. You can catch that at CommandN.TV. She works on television in Canada on CP24 and other channels. Look for Web Nation. And she speaks and writes and everything. Her book will be out soon, a couple of months now, right?
Yeah, it's out on June 10th, but it's available now for pre-order. So if anyone wants to pick it up, it's called Power Funding, and you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and a bunch of other sites. I have them all listed at ambermack.com/book.
Yeah. Very good, Amber. Thank you for being here. Thanks, Leo, for watching. And we'll see you next week as we continue to cover this amazing World Wide Web and how it's changing on Net at Night. See you next time. Bye-bye.